The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery. Your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action. Located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Tuesday to you. Welcome to the show. Ryan and Chris coming your way live from Security Service Field. Another $2 Tuesday at the ballpark. Sox playing tonight, continuing their homestand. And we'd love to see you out here once the gates open at 5:30. But for now, we will try to inform and entertain over the course of this program. Guest-wise, they're both back-to-back in this first hour, so we're going to be busy. David Ramsey from the Gazette will be joining us in the next segment. And then at the bottom of the hour, Mark Knutson, columnist for WoodyPage.com, will be joining us to talk Rockies and also a really cool event that some Major League Baseball alumni are putting on at Memorial Park here in town today. So you're going to want to be locked in for that to find out how your child can get some training from former Major League Baseball players. It would be pretty cool. So we'll talk to them in hour number one. Rest of the show in terms of guests, it's you. We want you to be our guest. 286-0046. That is the text line. Want to start today with something that we discussed yesterday. And that was being a little bit worried about the Rockies and playing on ESPN. Of course, a day that will most certainly live in infamy. Being an ESPN radio affiliate, we were able to run the Rockies game against the Diamondbacks. It was glorious. We had a listening party at Old Chicago. We gave away stuff. Bud Black was on the show. It was awesome. And then the Rockies lost 16-5. And then something I did not know, Chris, but Wheels pointed out
to me. Is
that
what it finally got to?
Yeah, because it was 16. You peaced out.
I did peace out. It was Chris, eighth inning, and Nolan Arenado was up. They had scored two, and there was two on. Arenado struck out on a crappy inside pitch that messed up the whole at bat.
He threw up his hands, and he said, "I'm out of here."
Yes.
So they did that. But then Wheels told me the other night that the Rockies were on ESPN when they played the Giants just a few days later, and I did not know that. And they lost that game as well. 9-2, I believe, was the final. So we were a little bit weary.
Yeah.
Like, once, what do they say? Once is an accident.
Once?
No.
Oh.
Once is an accident. Two times is a trend. Three is a curse. I made up that last part.
Or a habit.
But that's what we're calling it.
Yeah.
We're going to call it the ESPN curse. Rockies on last night on the worldwide leader, and they just get their doors blown off by the St. Louis Cardinals. 8-2 is the final score. Pat Valaika, the only offense to speak of, a two-run pinch hit home run in the eighth inning, and that was it.
That's
so,
my guy, too.
Look, Antonio, as far as the breakdown of the game itself, we've been talking about on this show for weeks, nobody gets more run support than Antonio Senzatella.
Right.
I don't think he's a bad pitcher, but that's a big reason why he had 10 wins going into last night.
He almost didn't get out of the first inning last night. If Nolan Arenado doesn't make that awesome defensive play, he might be gone.
Right. So certainly he's not as bad as he showed last night, but at the same time, he usually gets picked up by the offense. He didn't last night. And you saw the results. So are you with me, Chris, in saying that this is a full-blown curse and that the Rockies should never appear on ESPN again?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people are excited about this because this is the first time this year where everyone's excited to actually watch the Rockies.
Right.
I got to be honest with you, when I'm watching the broadcast, they were talking about Nolan Arenado. Like, there's no question he's one of the best players in all of baseball and the best third baseman. So it was like a total, like, paradigm shift on how they were talking about the Rockies, and then they go out and lay an egg, and yes, I am on board.
It's like when I already kind of felt this way, not so much because I was worried that they'd lose, because there's another part to this, and I want to get Mark's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe there's an idea of when the lights are the brightest, how do you perform?
Right.
Can't tell me the Rockies didn't know they were on ESPN last night.
Oh, they knew.
This can't be a coincidence. Mm-hmm. That three times the worldwide leader comes to knock on your door and wants to talk to you and profile you, that you're not cognizant of that. Maybe I'm making too much of it, but it will get Mark's thoughts
right
at the bottom of the hour on whether this is just some crazy happenstance thing or this is like legit, that when the lights have been turned on three times now on the Rockies, they have performed horribly.
Yes.
So we'll
and they're on tonight time. MLB Network, but
that's
it's like, who cares?
I think we're blacked out.
Oh, really?
See, ESPN, I don't think we're necessarily blacked out.
Oh.
But MLB Network, I believe that we are not allowed to watch on MLB Network.
Oh, yeah, because we got the other one.
Which I believe Drew Goodman and Ryan Spielborgs are back, so that is good.
Okay. Okay.
I don't like to.
So we got to watch on that network that doesn't do Wednesday day games.
I don't like to throw a ton of shade their way because we're one big happy family in the sports media world.
Mm-hmm.
When Spielborgs or Goodman are not there, that is about as unwatchable a television as I can.
I kind of agree with you.
Anyway, enough Spilly about that.
Spilly brings the fun.
Yes, he does, and Drew Goodman's great at what he does. So. That's the extent of our analysis of the Rockies. They're going to play again tonight, and hopefully they'll get a better result having Matt Vaskirgin and Harold Reynolds calling their game. Also, here's the other thing, and this is kind of the not-so-light side of sports that we're going to discuss today. A new study that they examine, like, something like 200, what is this number?
A lot.
A lot of 202 former football players.
202
donated,
brains.
Right, donated their brains to CTE and concussion research. That study is back, and it is, the number is staggering. Maybe it's not shocking to you, but it,
right,
the number is like, whoa. Nearly 90% of the brains that were donated exhibited CTE, had CTE. And that leads us kind of into our poll question today. Given this, and I don't mean to lead people on this issue.
Right.
Okay, so I even, Chris,
well, 50-50
now. Chris can attest to this. I asked him, am I leading on this poll question? Because what I want to know is where we're at with football, because if this were a year ago, I mean, it would be so much no on the poll, wouldn't it even be funny.
Right.
But some time has passed. The movie Concussion is already been out on DVD and,
yes,
and on demand and HBO and everything, and it's kind of so
everyone who's going to see it has saw it.
Right. So I wonder now where we're at as we get ready. We're all excited for football season. There's no doubt about that. And I always draw the line, and maybe it's hypocritical,
mm-hmm,
but I draw the line and say I will never stop enjoying watching football. I'm sorry.
Right.
I just won't.
It's the gladiators of our day.
But I won't let my kid play it. I won't let my kid play it at all. So I want to know, because a lot of you listening – we're all in different stages of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are 8 and 5. Okay, they're just starting to even be allowed to play any form of football,
right,
much less tackle football.
Yeah.
So I'm in a different place. My wife and I have agreed that football is not contact football. Flag football I have no issue with. contact football with helmets and pads is not in my son's future.
Flag football is the gateway football.
It is the gateway football. So maybe we should squash that.
Right.
But for now, it's contact. We don't want our kids going up against that. But we have listeners. You and me are in two different, very different walks of life.
Well, my daughters have had tons of concussions, like probably five or six each.
Right. So,
real concussions.
And your girls play soccer, which is actually, it's not, no sport is near as bad as football when it comes to this
issue.
Well,
yeah, because.
But on the girls' side, girls' soccer is the most dangerous in terms of concussions.
Can I say something about this? Because I think differently. Because I agree. I think there's pause for concern. But with 200 people, 200 brains they've looked at, it's kind of saying, is this a normal thing? Like, am I walking around with some of that stuff in my brain? You know what I mean? It's like, like, it just seems like so many. Maybe it's, yes, you can get more with football, but maybe there's a lot more people walking around with CTE that we don't know. Maybe that's a reason for some of these Alzheimer's. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
For me, it's like, huh, maybe it's not just football.
But here, we want to get David Ramsey's opinion on this coming up next. So what I'll say in closing here is that the other thing we have to consider is, has football done enough to curtail this in the future? Because, again, we're talking about a generation of football players where the NFL didn't care too much at all about, or at least didn't do what was necessary to protect their players.
Right.
We're talking about the same generation. These 200 brains come from that generation. We're not talking about guys who are in the NFL at 25 years old. So perhaps in a decade, we'll have another study like this, and it will show that it's less. So that's why I put out the poll question, because some of it is, are we just piling on to the past and what we already knew, or is this something that shakes you a little bit more than maybe you were in the past? So that's why we put out the poll question at Extra Sports 1300 on Twitter. Also, really value your opinion on the text line. As I said, all of us are in different walks of life. Some of our kids are grown. Some of our kids are very young. Some of our kids are right now playing youth football, college football. So that's why the text line is there, 286-0046. Let us know where your kids are at in ages as you weigh in. Have you not had kids yet? Are your kids fully grown? Then give us your opinion, because I'd like to see if that skews the conversation at all.
They know more about sports than you do.
It blows my mind that people choose to pick out that it's Aqib Talib that is doing this instead of the fact that it needed to be done.
And even if they don't, we'll continue to say they do.
You guys are way too cocky.
It's Ryan Kaufman and Chris Brayden on Tribe Time Sports.
He's just going to be mentioned
every
single
year. He would be a great choice.
Sure he would, but he's like old and shouldn't be coaching.
Presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery on Extra Sports 1300.
Hour number two on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. Ryan and Chris coming your way live from Security Service Field. A $2 Tuesday.
Yeah.
For the Sky Sox tonight.
$2
parking.
And?
Tickets.
And?
Beer.
There you go. I was being wheels right there.
Right. You gotta prompt me, because if you let me just rattle off.
You might add hot dogs.
I'll be like,
stuff.
Hot dogs, $2 souvenirs, and $2. No.
So there's
the
important things in here.
To park, to get in, and to take the edge off is all $2.
Right.
And that's
there's
important.
These big buckets right there. I don't know if you can see them. They say Malibu on them.
That's
and that's like my jam.
That's your jam.
So I want to know what goes in those buckets, and I want to have one of those buckets before I go home.
Speaking, just don't do it while we're on air. Speaking of the Sky Sox, should I put this out in the atmosphere, or are you afraid that I'll jinx it? Okay.
Keep it a mystery.
We have a mystery Sky Sox player coming up here in about 7 to 10 minutes.
Mystery.
So next segment. A mystery Sky Sox player.
Okay.
So.
I, I told you I came to the game Saturday night, and it was a blast. Tim Tebow.
Don't guess
Tim Tebow. Did Tim Tebow get traded to the Sky Sox in the last 15 minutes?
With the trade deadline coming up, there is only one untouchable player. If Giancarlo.
Tim Tebow.
Think about this. Think about this just for a second. Can we just – let me put this out there and see if this sounds weird to you.
Yes.
Giancarlo Stanton, who makes $300 million just about.
Worth every penny.
Might get traded.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow, untouchable.
Word. Don't gaze into his eyes. But I told you I came to the game Saturday night, and it's been a while since I came and just watched the game. And it was a blast.
Yeah.
And they came back in the eighth. It was super exciting.
And they're winning. Like, usually in years past, to be quite honest with you, really before the Milwaukee affiliation, we would come out here and be like, at the end of the day, at least we had fun.
Yes.
You know what?
Sunday's 50-cent hot dogs.
Right. I mean, they're on the precipice. I know there's still a lot of baseball to be played.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a team that is well on their way to making their first postseason, which is really hard to do at the AAA level. Like, they don't take three wild cards and do all that stuff. I mean,
right. You
got to win your division, and you're in. And the Sky Sox lead it right now, and they have a decent margin. It's like the Rockies with the wild card.
No.
They have a decent margin. It's not insurmountable.
There's room for a hiccup here and there.
But they have some breathing room, and they might be in the postseason. How great would that be for the
do you think the Brewers staying – like the Cubs and the Brewers, and we're all saying that the Cubs are going to we all think the Cubs are going to make a run.
Uh-huh.
But how much does that affect what's going on here?
I was just having that conversation before we went on air today.
Yeah.
There is a little bit, and we talked about this yesterday with Atchison. Right now, there's a reported kind of disagreement going on at the big league level.
Mm-hmm.
David Stearns, the general manager of the Brewers, reportedly wants to kind of, yes, he wants to make a move, but he doesn't want – he's a lot like Jeff Breidich is handling things right now for the Rockies. Like, we really like to make a move because it would be awesome to be in the playoffs, and it would be awesome to have a legitimate shot of maybe making a run to an NLCS. But at the same time, with what we have in the farm system, particularly here,
right?
You know, we don't want to give that up. We don't want to be good for 1 year – when we could be, you know, we
but
don't want to be very
But you never know when
good.
It's going to happen again.
That's true. That's
because,
true.
Like, the Strasburg mm-hmm. thing, remember the year they didn't let him pitch? Like, you never know what's going to happen. And in that division, mm-hmm. it's really a four-team race. You've got Cards are, like, five games back. But the Pirates mm-hmm. won seven out of their last 10. They're at 50. They're only one game back of the Cubs now.
Yeah.
Like, that division is tight.
No, it absolutely is. But there is a disagreement because the ownership wants to go all in, and Stearns is like, look, we got – not that – I mean, Lewis Brinson is probably untouchable. But there are other guys that are playing here, guys that have kind of been shuttled back and forth, that are really good and are going to be
really
Brinson's
good
for a long time.
You think untouchable?
I think he's about
You know, the funny thing is because there. I realize these are all – everybody here is one step – away from the major leagues. They're all very good players. But when Lewis Brinson stands out there, it's different.
You just feel it.
And you don't want to say that, you know, comparing to other guys, but it's just different. In fact, my daughter, who knows absolutely nothing about baseball, is like, who's that? And I go, that's the guy.
Yeah. That's the guy.
And he proved it a couple times out there on Saturday night. So, yeah, there is just something that, you know, is it the swag? Like, you just know it when you see
it. He just looks like a star ready to be born.
Right.
So, mystery Sky Sox player, not Lewis Brinson, but a mystery Sky Sox player coming up in the next segment. I do want to discuss this before we go to break and welcome on that mystery Sky Sox player. Gary Kubiak got the first order of business after John Elway signs his new contract is he brings Gary Kubiak back into the
fold.
You just hate the guy. Like, so what he's
– I'm T. Paxton all the way, baby.
He is a scouting advisor. That is the title for – Gary Kubiak. And I asked this question to David Ramsey, and I'll pose it to you, Chris, and everybody else out there. Is this Gary Kubiak literally put his health on the line?
I disagree with that.
Yes, he did.
He
was having health issues.
He didn't put his health on the line.
Yes, he did. He was trying to push through it and still coach this team, and he did that. Like, I don't know that he would have died. I'm just saying, like, he wasn't in good health, but yet he gave the Broncos everything he had. And then to your point about Paxton and ruining your boy.
Yeah.
He stepped
He's your boy, too.
He is my boy, but I'm not so much.
You're softening,
like,
I feel.
I don't protect. I just feel like the quarterback position is going to be a black hole again this year for the Broncos. That's just what I feel.
You're making
but
feel
Gary
great.
Kubiak, when there was like, there's no reports of this, but there's a strong feeling that it was like John Elway at the end of the season did basically this. Bro,
you suck.
Like, bro, seriously, man. I love you like a brother, but this is my guy. Paxton's my guy. And then there was some sort, just an unspoken thing. Like, it was just like, Kubiak's like, my health isn't in great shape. Obviously, I don't agree with the direction that management wants to go in, so I'm just going to peace out. But I want to come back. And this is John Elway saying, we have a lot of history together. I appreciate what you have done for this team for as a player, as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach,
right.
As my friend, and I appreciate how you handled your exit.
Yeah.
Let me give you this. Because
he handled the exit horrifically.
No, he didn't.
That last Raider game?
No, but that was a Paxton thing. Leave Paxton out of this for a second. And just look at it from the idea that Gary Kubiak didn't have to step down. And John Elway may not have fired him.
Oh, okay? My God, dude.
So that may not have happened.
That is my nightmare. Watching that offense one more year, like, dude, come on.
Right. So let's be honest. This is a made-up position. This is not
I feel
an
like
actual...
John Elway lost a bet with this boy, and he's like, all right, I'll put you on the payroll.
Anything that has advisor in it is probably made up.
Right. No, I agree with that.
Or it's probably like we're just doing you a favor. So let's be honest. This is not Gary Kubiak bringing some sort of amazing insight into the Broncos organization that's going to put them over the top for years to come. This is John Elway doing Gary Kubiak a solid because Gary Kubiak did do a lot for this organization.
But Dave Ramsey he put John Fox above Gary Kubiak.
Well, you have to look. We're all in this to win Super Bowls, right? That's what the goal is.
Yeah.
But this is what I hate about a lot of sports discussions. Mm-hmm. Just because you win the championship doesn't automatically make you better than everybody else who didn't. So I think there is a fair point
maybe a
there
little.
With what David's saying. John Fox did way more with the Broncos than Kubiak did while he was here.
Besides
but,
win the Super Bowl.
But Kubiak won a Super Bowl, so automatically
I give that Super Bowl to Peyton Manning and the defense.
Look at this. Okay, so John Fox took the Broncos from the bottom of the barrel.
Josh McDaniels days.
Right, from Josh McDaniels to respectability, even though you have a guy who's now playing baseball as your quarterback. Okay, so he took them from way down here.
Yeah.
He took them from 2 to like 7.
Right.
And Kubiak came in and took them from 7 to 10. So one guy took them to the ultimate, but one guy carried more of the load in this rebuilding.
So, like, you're talking like Walsh and Seifert won with Walsh's guys, or Jimmy Johnson and whatever, Switzer type thing.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I'm just saying that John Fox does deserve a lot of credit for the Broncos winning.
He was a lot more fun than Gary Kubiak. So as far as just in the press, I would pick John Fox too.
So, I mean, we may disagree on a lot of things.
Like Gary Kubiak for me that last year. Like that last year for me, all the goodwill built up for Gary Kubiak. I mean, dude, the game plans, the offense, the way he treated Paxton, just like the whole year for me was a big pile of steam and poo. And I like really lost any love I have for him. Now, I don't want him to be sick, and I don't want him to put his health at risk, but come on. It was crap. Have you ever had an argument with your friend? Like, I've had friends where we just, like, we went at it, and then it took a few weeks, and then we were cool again. You know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of what happened. There was a little dust-up with Elway, and Elway had to, like, bow his shoulders back, and Kubiak's gone, and now they're boys again. Because Gary Kubiak, he adds value. And it, as an advisor right now, fine. But I think it's kind of weird.
It's a guy giving another guy a job that has very little responsibility.
Way to write off games down in Texas while he's down there watching them and just have fun.
Right. I mean, it's just somebody doing – it's John Elway doing Gary Kubiak a solid because of the history they have together and the fact that Gary Kubiak did do a lot for the Broncos franchise, and he did – I think, step aside a little bit prematurely because he realized that he and John weren't on the same page as far as what the direction of the team should be at the quarterback position. So I have no problem with this, him doing this, but let's just call it what it is.
John Elway's reading The Art of War, and Gary Kubiak's down there with Encyclopedia Brown. That just wasn't working, bro. It was not. It
That's
was
fine,
really bad.
But he's just doing the guy a solid.
Okay.
So
I would do him a solid, too.
That's all I'm saying.
I'd even buy him a funnel cake.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Just
okay,
him a solid.
But you telling me that Gary Kubiak with the his health and
he
stuff.
He put his health.
Come on, man.
All right.
I think that's Pollyanna-ish.
286-0046. Feel free to weigh in.
Tell Ryan he's wrong.
Did Gary Kubiak put his health on the line for the Denver Broncos? Does he deserve to have
my numbers are really high, Mr. Elway. John.
Does he have...
I have elevated levels. Can't do this today.
The question is, does Gary Kubiak deserve a made-up position? That is what we are arguing on this program.
But
right
I was
now.
Cool with it. I'm cool with okay. it. He could right. have a made-up position.
We got a break.
If you're not spending every waking moment checking us out online, you'd better have a good excuse.
Yeah.
We've loaded up our website with stories, videos, interviews, and contests. Hit it now. Extrasports1300.com.
Welcome back. Drive Time Sports coming your way live from Security Service Field. Sky Sox in action tonight. It is a $2 Tuesday. Parking, tickets, and beverages, even the adult ones, are $2 tonight. So come on out and see the first place Sky Sox in action. And thankfully, our good friends here at the Sky Sox are not making liars out of us because we are joined by a real-life Sky Sox player. This season, he is 5-1 with a 2.92 ERA here at Colorado Springs. First-round pick of the Brewers back in 2011. Taylor Youngman joins us on the program. Taylor, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. So this is the silly season for baseball, trade deadline coming up. Do you guys check the internet, Twitter, and stuff as much as we do this time of year?
I think a lot of guys do. I try to stay away from it as much as possible because you can't control any of that and you never know what's going to happen. But I know a lot of guys in the clubhouse are talking about it. It's an interesting time. It's a fun time.
Yeah. And let's talk about you. You make it up. You spend a little bit of time here. You make it up to Milwaukee, and then you have a little bit of struggles there, and you come back down to the minor leagues. How difficult was that to be sent back down after making it to the show?
It's always difficult. It's not something you want to do to regress like that. It's something you got to get past. You got to keep pushing forward and make adjustments and go from there.
And it looks like you have. I mean, you pitch really well at Biloxi. You come up here now. And as I mentioned, you got a sub-3 ERA, 5 wins. How's your how things working out there on the mound for you?
You know, I made a couple subtle adjustments in my mechanics, and they seem to be working. You know, I had a rough outing last outing, but I'm trying to get right back on track, and hopefully tomorrow's a good one.
Mechanically, talking about that, you a lot of the player comps with you was Jared Weaver. Yeah, like you've heard that where is that what you're talking about mechanically? Maybe not.
I'd say the only thing comparable to me and Weaver that we throw across our bodies.
Right.
but, you know, I guess there's not very many guys that do that. It's something where you have a very little room for error, and if you're not on you know, the right rhythm and timing and all that stuff, then you know, sometimes it can get ugly. So it's important that I try to stay in rhythm and stay with my timing and you know, just throw strikes.
Now, you're Taylor Youngman, a Sky Sox pitcher, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So you're not on the mound tonight. So what do you do in between starts on game days? Are you working out? What are you doing?
You know, it depends. I call it the 5-day schedule. You know, day one for me is the day after I start, and that's my big lower body day, running day, all the recuperating type stuff in the training room a little bit, getting worked on. Day two would be my upper body day, kind of relaxing a little bit, not running as much. Again, getting work on in the training room. Day three is my bullpen day, running as well, not a whole lot after that. Day four, which is today for me, not doing a whole lot. Just some light running and just playing catch and, you know, just waiting for tomorrow.
Just hanging out at the Citadel Mall or anything like that today.
I get to the field pretty early, so I don't really have time to do that.
Right on. So, look, we say this all the time, and it almost goes without saying. All you guys are here because you want to be one step higher. But in the meantime, it's got to be pretty fun to be playing for a first-place team and be playing games where you guys can come out and believe you're going to win every single time out.
Yeah, I'd say everybody wants to be in the big leagues right now, as frustrating as that can be. Being on a first-place team in AAA, you know, that's the next best thing. You know, it's never fun to be on a losing team. I've been a part of a lot of those in the minor leagues, and it just makes the season go by faster. It makes it more enjoyable. It's a fun time for everybody.
You said that this time of year with the trade deadline, everybody's kind of chattering and you guys are talking to people. How many guys do you chat with regularly that are playing with Milwaukee right now?
On the big league team?
Yeah, on the big league team.
There's a few guys up there that I talk to quite a bit. You know, they give me info on, you know, what the moves are, you know, being talked about, mm-hmm. things like that. You know, how the bullpen's doing, the word going around, you know, that kind of stuff. But other than that, you know, not a whole lot. You know, I try to stay with my teammates here and go from there.
Yeah, what crazy thing Brett Phillips did today to make SportsCenter that
yeah, you never know with that guy.
Right, exactly. Taylor Youngman joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So next start for you will be here on the should be here on the homestand, right?
Tomorrow.
So you're going tomorrow night against Tacoma. So give us the advanced scouting report.
To be honest with you, I don't look at too many scouting reports.
Oh, really?
With the way I throw, the deception I have, I'm going with my strengths every day. You know, I'm not looking too much at, you know, what they do well or things like that. I feel like when I do that is when I start to struggle. I get away from what I do well. You know, I'm not like most guys with the way I throw. I can do a little something different.
Yeah, absolutely you can, and it's worked out pretty well. So you mentioned not a whole lot on the docket for today. Once the game starts, are you in the dugout? Are you lobbying Sweet to put you out and coach first base? What are you doing tonight?
Going in between the dugout, going inside a little bit to check the Brewers score. You know, you can check out their hitters on the TV, things like that. You know, just in and out. And I try to lobby for a you know, pinch hit here and there, but that's about
right.
It.
Right, that usually doesn't work out too well for you. So we're just, gosh, what, 5-6 weeks away from the college football season getting started. So what's the report from Austin about the Longhorns?
There's a lot of excitement this year, you know, with Tom Herman being there, new coach, new team. The recruiting's been great this year so far from what I've seen. A lot of buzz around there. You know, I'm skeptical. I'm trying to stay back. You know, I'm excited every year when college football season comes around. I've been pretty disappointed the past couple of years, so cautiously optimistic. Hopefully, we can compete this year.
Gotta get one over on Oklahoma, right? They're dealing with their own coach turnover, right?
Yeah, both of us do.
Right. Well, Taylor, certainly appreciate you coming up, and it's good to see you. But at the same time, I wish that I didn't have an opportunity to see you because I wish you were up with the big club. But I'm confident that will happen sooner rather than later. Thanks so much for joining us, and keep it rolling.
Yep, I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me.
You bet. There's Taylor Youngman, Sky Sox pitcher, joining us here on Drive Time Sports.
We like to talk.
I'll talk some jive like you never heard.
And you like to listen.
That is 100% true.
The best sports talk is right here. Extra Sports 1300.
Drive Time Sports here on Extra Sports 1300. By the way, did we get a... You're supposed to be running the text line today.
Yes, I was.
Did we get anything on...
Yeah, we did.
On the...
Hold on, let me go there. My wife's asking me to look for a coupon. We had... Are we talking terrible hot take by Chris on Kyrie?
No, well, we'll do that, but let's see. Will you let that
one?
Person...
No, this one?
Let the, no, this person.
Got you.
So, what is that? Congratulations, Rustin. If you're still tuned in, you are our winner of the Sky Sox tickets for Thursday. You're supposed to be manning the text line.
I am.
Okay.
We were off the air.
All right.
That was called a break.
All right. So, Rustin, you are winning the tickets to Thursday's game. We'll let you know where to – Chris will – let you know where to pick them up and all that good stuff. By the way, if you are in the market for Sky Sox tickets for future games, if you come out and see us, and I believe the gates have opened,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken, if you come by, we're at Not Your Father's Bar here at Security Service Field, third base side. We have vouchers for upcoming games, so basically – it's buy one, get one deal if you come by and see us. So
uh-oh.
You're coming to the Sky Sox game tonight.
Yeah.
Come by and see us, and we'll hook you up with tickets to a future
another
game.
Ooh.
So there you go.
Holy cow.
All right. So Mike Tyson is on Barstool Sports Podcast because this – I know we podcast, but this is like a thing now where we're reporting news from podcasts. But anyway, he's on Barstool Sports Podcast.
Yeah.
And he says that that McGregor has no shot.
Mm-hmm.
McGregor has no shot. He's going to get killed, I believe was the exact
I think
quote.
I said that too.
Okay. So then why is all, like, I'm not exaggerating when I say all the money is coming in on Conor McGregor. Explain to me the way that Vegas and betting works. Because I thought that I understand if maybe you're on the fence and you say this guy has better odds, I'll take him instead.
Right.
Like, I understand that. But everyone says Conor McGregor has no shot. So why are people putting down 150K, which is actual something that happened, putting that much money on McGregor?
There's like a lot of drunk Irish people betting right now.
I understand.
The smart money will come
every
in
every year. My dad used to put like $10 down on the Rockies to win the World Series if
right.
we were in Vegas. Like, we do that. I understand that. But putting like... I know probably to the guy who put down $150K is probably like $15 for us.
Right.
But I'm just saying so much money is coming on Conor.
Because
and
if,
I don't.
Because if Conor McGregor wins, then you're a winner. Like the odds for Mayweather are minus 550.
I know how
that's
betting works.
Right.
But if McGregor loses, which he will, and we all know he will, you get nothing. You lose.
I know, but that's part of the fun of gambling.
But not gambling on that. Like, I would bet on any, and I would bet on the Browns beating the New England Patriots with me as quarterback before I would bet on Conor McGregor to beat Floyd Mayweather.
No, I don't think he's going to beat him, but, like, I think everyone's, like, a puncher's chance, and maybe a bunch of UFC people are fighting because the odds are going to change. I think actually, you know what? They should probably
understand.
Get worse. I don't understand it
why.
Either.
It's a sucker's bet.
It totally is a sucker's
bet. To pick Conor McGregor. Like, it's just the dumbest thing ever. I understand you want to put some money down, but the reports out of Vegas are significant amounts of money are being placed on. These aren't like 21-year-old girls on spring break,
right?
Putting $5, which is a weird analogy. It would be more like 21-year-old dudes coming to Vegas for the first time, wanting to do all the Vegas-y things. So they're seeing the Cirque du Soleil. They're going to every casino and all this kind of stuff, and they're putting money down on the Conor McGregor fight because it's fun. That's not this. They're saying that big time money is being placed on Conor McGregor.
It's funny. So I'm on this website right now called OddsShark.com.
That is.
And I always go to the comments when I can in these things. It says, this guy named Alex says, if I bet 500, how much will I win? And someone came back and said, dude, if you can't figure out how betting works, you should just burn the 500 and save yourself the trouble. But the odds are interesting. So odds to win, Mayweather minus 550, Conor McGregor plus 375. This is where it gets more interesting. By TKO or KO, Conor McGregor plus 500, Floyd Mayweather minus 140. Here's the interesting part. By decision, plus 200 on Mayweather, plus 1,000 on Conor McGregor. So basically everyone's saying if Conor McGregor wins, it's going to be by some haymaker that he throws because he is not going to win by a decision. This whole thing is interesting. And it's funny, first-round victory, both are 1,600.
Which is actually kind of counterintuitive.
Right.
When you're trying to make a case for Conor, mm-hmm. you're making the case that, well, I guess a lot of people are saying he's got to catch him with the haymaker. To me, if Conor wins, it might be because he's just dodging the heck out of Floyd Mayweather.
I don't think he can do it, though. I think that's virtually impossible.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's just the point is it doesn't matter because he's not going to win.
No.
I just care about.
Are you
going
to pay for
money.
The fight yet? Are you closer to paying for it?
No.
What if it's a really nice undercard?
We might have some business dealings that will put me in a position to be able to watch without paying. And I am I'm seriously considering that. But I will not pay one penny.
Is this principle or are you being cheap?
No, this is out of principle. This is a sham and they're charging us more.
It's not
a sham. I'm buying UFC 214. By the way, Cowboy Cerrone on this program on Thursday.
I know, I'm gonna miss it.
I am going to buy 214. I'm going to foot the entire bill, and anybody is welcome to join me. I'll pay for the entire thing myself.
Are you going to have food?
I think I'm grocery shopping tonight,
okay.
So it's iffy on whether food will be left. but I'm not paying. Like I'm not going to pay for it because they're charging us more to watch something that is a complete sham.
But it's a spectacle, and it's interesting, and that's what you're paying
for. I'll watch Real Housewives of Atlanta want to watch a spectacle.
I'll watch Ozark again.
I think I'm going to watch that show anyway.
I think I'm going to watch that show anyway. Tonight, you got to watch.
Thank you out there in Radio Land for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow right after Sky Sox Baseball. But for tonight, we lead into Sky Sox Baseball, which comes your way next here on Extra Sports 1300.